The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is hour number 3 of primetime action, this Monday night edition from our South Point Sportsbook studio here in Las Vegas, back alongside Matt Brown. You can follow him, by the way, at Matt Brown. What is it? M2?
That's it.
That's still it.
There you
okay.
go.
Just making, I'm just making sure. I remembered.
Yep.
Good job by me. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. What, at Kelly Vison, right?
Nope. No.
Kelly Bidlin.
You were almost 0 for 1, and then
I
you
tried,
were like,
I had
you got
the confidence.
Partial credit on mine, and then you get zero credit on his. He actually went full on just his name now.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were used to be Kelly Vison.
I did. I used to be.
Okay, I at least knew what it used to be.
The artist formerly.
Yeah, he just gets to be his name now because he has an interesting enough name that he can just be his name.
That's unlike us.
Was that a screw up by Elvis Andrews or somebody?
All I know is the
Yankees run.
We're going to get our score update here in just a minute. First, though, we have from Jeff Passan, suspensions are in from that ridiculous Angels Mariners brawl from yesterday. Phil Nevin, 10 games. Jesse Winker of the Mariners, who was the one who was hit and then started the brawl, 7 games. J.P. Crawford, Anthony Rendon, Dom Chidi, 5 games. And it should be pointed out, Anthony Rendon is, I mean, he's out for the season, so I don't know what really is going to matter there. Andrew Wants, Ryan Tepera, 3 games. Julio Rodriguez, Raisel Iglesias, Ray Montgomery, Manny Del Campo, 2 games. Bill Heiselman, 1 game. So
they'll all appeal.
And they'll all appeal, and they'll stagger it so they don't screw themselves lineup-wise.
Yep.
But that is the ruling from Major League.
No, it was a hit. It was just it just got right over his glove.
Yeah, it was actually very impressive defensive play that he actually got a glove on it.
Imagine betting
from a
A's,
laser from a judge.
If you bet A's first 5, this is becoming a sweat. 5-3 A's, bottom of the 5th, 2 outs, runner on first. Kelly, you have what, Yankees +2.5 live here, -117. How about the rest of our action going on right now?
Yeah, right now, live numbers on the A's-Yankees game. Yankees +125 on the money line. A's -155, 11.5 the total. You got the Pirates with a 2-0 lead over the Nationals. That game in the bottom of the 6th inning. Pirates -255, Nats +205, 5.5 your total. Blue Jays 7-0 over the Red Sox. That game is in the top of the 6th inning. Live numbers currently off the board. Twins up 7-0 over the Guardians. That game in the top of the 7th. Let's see. No money line. You can catch 6.5 runs with the Guardians at +150 if you're feeling lucky. 9.5 your total. Cardinals still with that 1-0 lead over the Marlins into the bottom of the 4th now. Cardinals -280 live. Marlins +220. 5.5 your total. Rangers with a 4-3 lead over the Royals in the second inning. A lot of scoring going on between those two teams. Let's see, we live numbers, Rangers minus 205, Royals plus 165, 14.5 is your total. Oh, I see another live bet coming. Rockies with a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers early. Let's see, that is in the bottom of the second inning. Rockies minus 125, Dodgers minus 105, 10.5 your total.
I love how Kelly's just it's a principal bet from now on. It's just like auto firing.
Summertime's here. July's almost here, Ben.
Home runs by Chapman, Guerrero Jr., and Springer in that Blue Jay game. And a team that has been talking about running hot and cold, Matt. But while their pitching really struggled, Berríos and Kikuchi were horrific in two losses to the Brewers this weekend. They've been all over Boston. And Kevin Gausman now, ERA back under 3. 7-0 lead there into the sixth inning right now. So that's been a very impressive show. And 4-3 Rangers and Royals in a game where we assume we would get runs out of Texas, but we thought Martin Perez would be very, very solid as well for the Rangers. It has been a struggle of both of those guys on the mound. So that's interesting so far.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I mean, Kelly, it's a little too early. I don't think you're going to get any sort of number on the Dodgers quite yet. You might have to wait another couple innings for you.
Another bomb, by the way, in Minnesota. Carlos Correa, 8th homer of the year, 2-run shot, and it is all Twins.
Yes.
9-0. So they will be up 3 games now in the AL Central after tonight.
This is one of those games where we might monitor for position player pitching type thing going on here. And if that's the case, get a live over.
I like that live bet too.
Yeah. So
I will say though, Minnesota has not been good in these spots. Like there was a game where they had a day game, I think against the Tigers. Tigers used three different position players pitching from the seventh inning on, and did not. I think they gave up 1 run, which is pretty amazing.
We're hitting all the Kelly principles of MLB betting.
I just wanted to point that out.
It's just live. If the Dodgers fall behind, the Yankees fall behind, and then position pitcher, position player in their pitching.
That has gone to 11.5, juice under. But I think that's a good point.
3-run shot in the bottom of the fourth for Juan Yepes for the Cardinals. 4-0 in favor of the Cards over the Marlins.
4-0. All right, you're looking good. Looking good on that play. There. And if you were a Pirate backer on the first 5, that's already gotten home as well. And I believe they just got home. A's first 5. That was a big, big plus money number today. They get home on the first 5. 5-3 is that score going to the sixth. All right, we've pumped it up. We're ready to go, Matt. We have 74 days to do it. It is 32 teams, 32 shows. Let's do the thing. Oh, I've missed this week.
You didn't listen to it.
I watched every episode last week. I at least watched.
Power ranking the 32 teams in 32 shows.
I watched snippets last year.
We should add a little question mark at the bottom of the graphic where it's like 32 teams question mark.
Maybe.
Over under 32.5 shows. Where will we draw the line?
We'll get it.
Well, and we're going to start with one of the teams who has had as much offseason buzz as just about anybody, Matt, and that would be the Denver Broncos. I like how we're just diving right into one of the most difficult divisions to handicap, at least on the surface here, where you've got Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders all appearing to have made additions to their teams in the offseason. And we'll start with Denver, 7-10. That was your last place team a season ago in the AFC West, missing the playoffs for the 6th straight season. Yet, after trading away Von Miller toward the back half of last year, defense had some good, some bad. The points allowed, the yards were good, Matt, but if you looked a little bit deeper, the DVOA numbers really, really bad. Early down success, really bad for this defense. Offense certainly struggled, and that led us into one of the biggest acquisitions of the offseason in Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, it started even at the top, right? I mean, so head coach Nathaniel Hackett comes in. He comes over, takes over for Vic Fangio. Hackett from the Packers, where he was the offensive coordinator the last 3 seasons for them. So if you are looking at, is this an upside for the acquisition of Russell Wilson in that trade, then obviously a huge upgrade to bring in an offensive coordinator that's been working with Aaron Rodgers and that offense that has been humming for several seasons up there. On the offensive side, Justin Outen is coming in. He was the Packers tight ends coach for the last 3 years, so he's going to at least call a lot of the plays, I think, there for them, depending on how much Hackett wants to take over on his own there. And on the defensive side, Ejiro Evero comes over from the Rams. He was the defensive pass game coordinator over there for the Rams. Of course, you know, with that secondary, the Rams has been one of the best secondaries in the league for the last couple of seasons as well. So on the surface, all seems like good hires here for this Broncos team as we head into the season. As you mentioned, you know, the biggest trade in quite some time, moving Russell Wilson over from Seattle to Denver. They also pick up Randy Gregory, Billy Turner, an offensive tackle, Alex Singleton, linebacker, defensive lineman DJ Jones. They picked up corner Quan Williams. They also picked up another offensive tackle that'll be a good kind of just a swing guy for backup in Tom Compton. So pretty good offseason here for this Broncos squad. Now out the door, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant had to go in that trade. Steven Weatherly is also gone for them as well. The way they kind of replenished in the draft, they didn't have a first-round pick, but in the second round, they took Nick Benito as a linebacker, so he'll come in on the defensive side for them. They took Greg Dulcich in the third round. He's a tight end. Actually, one of the better and higher-graded tight ends by Pro Football Focus and leading into the draft this past year. Mm. It just wasn't a high-end tight end draft, right? And so he falls to the third round. But as far as they were talking about for a modern-day tight end, he is one of the better pass catchers and route runners out there. He's kind of on the smallish side. He's kind of more like a big wide receiver than he is like an actual tight end. So might need to put on a little bit of size here in order to really contribute. But from all signs, could be a nice contributor there for the Broncos and Russell Wilson. They also took Damari Mathis in the fourth round of corner to kind of come in and give him a little bit of depth at that position. But as you mentioned, DVOA numbers last year on the defensive side of the ball, despite all that talent, 20th overall defense in 2021, according to DVOA. Now, the offense is a little bit weird because, according to the DVOA numbers, they were 12th overall in offense, which I don't, you know, again, so the advanced statistics aren't the end-all be-all for me, right? You know, and so I watched the team play. That was not the 12th best offense in the NFL. No. Like, I mean, I watch every game twice, basically. And so, like, that was not the 12th best team. But, I mean, again, this is the advanced statistics talking here. Over on Sharp Football, who ranks the strength of schedules based off of what the projected win totals are moving forward for all of these teams, this team's dead center in the middle. 16th hardest schedule in the league as we head into 2022. Over on Pro Football Focus, how do they profile this team? They have them power rated 7th overall heading into the season. So they're really high on this Denver team coming in to the season. Now, the offensive line, they have 16th, so kind of right in the middle of the pack that they said really does have a lot of upside here if Lloyd Cushenberry can continue to make some steps here for this team. If Billy Turner can really start to turn a corner for them, then this could be an even better offensive line than kind of a middle of the pack type deal. 10th receiving core, of course, if I read you off the names, you would think, oh, how is there 9 teams better than Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, and KJ Hamler? But, you know, again, Jerry Judy's been pretty inconsistent in these first couple of years NFL, so he really does need to step it up for them. 17th overall defensive line, really that could go up if Randy Gregory can stay healthy because they do factor in injury. Like, he has a top 10 pressure rate when he's actually on the field. The problem is he's only played 500 snaps in a season once since 2018, and so his problem is staying on the field. So big signing for them, but they really need to get health out of him. Bradley Chubb's been underwhelming the last couple of seasons as well. In the secondary, Patrick Surtain's an absolute stud. He will continue to get better. He's going to be one of the more lockdown corners there are in all the league. All in all, this team on paper should be one of the better teams in the NFL, but like you said, the problem becomes that division, and they've got to play those teams two times a
piece. And there's really, I mean, two questions for us to answer, which we'll do next. It is, what do you expect play calling-wise under a completely new regime, and how much defensive improvement is reasonable, given the talent but the lack of overall execution last season? We'll answer those questions next. We'll also break down how they slot into the division, look at schedule as we continue. Denver Broncos, first team of 32, we talk on Primetime Action.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome you back to Prime Time Action, where I believe our producer Kelly Bidlin has either come very close or already added another live play to the card here. Rockies 2, Dodgers nothing. Elias Diaz, line drive, base hit. Could this finally be the night? Tyler Anderson? 8-0?
I know.
Could he finally lose a game? Kelly, are you in on the Dodgers?
No, I didn't get in yet.
Oh, he's not in yet?
Yet.
So you laid out your principle, and then you basically said, yeah, we're going to ignore
Well, no. Matt made a good point. It was just the number really hadn't adjusted enough yet.
Correct.
For me to want to get in on it.
And he gives up another hard hit ball to Connor Joe. So runners on first and second now for the Rockies. Again, up 2-0, bottom of the second. And again, keep in mind, Kelly, Dodgers coming off a late Sunday night baseball, extra inning game, cross-country trip, first game of a new series at Coors, always tough. So just keep that in mind. And still 5-3 there.
Wise words.
End of the night for Paul Blackburn. He goes 5-3 earned. So an okay-ish start. I mean, he goes five innings, gives up three earned. A couple of homers for him given up. They give it. He gives way to Alex Ahler, who he of the 9.58 ERA.
And it's like you got to get what 12 outs now.
Has come in and the leadoff guy's already on. Stanton walked for the Yankees already. So you had a well timed, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, you had a well timed in game bet there.
Catching what 2.5 runs, Kelly?
Two and a half. Yep.
For that
down,
one,
you're down 5-3. I would be feeling very good if I were you right now. So we continue on. It is our first team of the 32 teams and 32 shows, Denver Broncos. We laid out a lot of the off-season personnel changes, of which there were very, very many, starting at the top down for Denver with Nathaniel Hackett coming in. My big question on the offense, so you bring in Russell Wilson, and we heard all the refrains when he was in Seattle of the let Russ cook. Why are they not throwing more with Russell Wilson? You bring in Nathaniel Hackett and his offensive coordinator, who you mentioned, all under the Matt LaFleur tree. So when you combine that with the fact that last year, Pat Shurmur was 22nd coming into last year in play action usage, 28th in pre-snap motion, a guy who did things in a very antiquated sense, and it did not work at all for Denver. You bring in a guy from the Matt LaFleur school of coaching who was very, very high up on, you presume, right, on the pre-snap motion, the play action usage. You're combining that with a guy in Russell Wilson who we all believe is going to be allowed to air the ball out much, much more often, given the wide receiver core you kind of laid out. So that is sort of the presumption here. How do you believe that that will actually manifest once we see this all come together, given that it's Wilson now in just the second system he's been in his pro career, and you've got a first-year coach who has never been at this level before here in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at what Hackett is going to walk into here, I mean, you have to think that he's walking into what he feels is maybe even a better situation than what he had in Green Bay. And no, I'm not saying that Russell Wilson's as good as Aaron Rodgers. That would be insane for me to say, but he's not that much worse. And then, yes, am I trying to say that Cortland Sutton is Devonta Adams? Absolutely not. But there was never a number two really there for Aaron Rodgers for the last several seasons. Whereas you're coming into a situation here from a wide receiver core that might be as good as you could possibly hope for, especially if Jerry Jeudy can live up to, you know, the hype that he had coming into the league here. But you have a guy in KJ Hamler who's the down-the-field burner. Russell Wilson throws one of the best, if not the best, deep balls in all of the NFL. You have the completely polished, totally can run any route guy in Cortland Sutton. You have Tim Patrick, who's kind of your sure-handed chain mover guy. And again, it's just whatever Jerry Jeudy can actually turn himself into in the NFL. So I think if he's looking at this from that standpoint, he's like, yeah, Russell is not Aaron Rodgers, and certainly Cortland Sutton is not Devonta Adams. But the sum of all the parts is probably greater in Denver than it is over in Green Bay. And so with that, I cannot imagine that he wouldn't run this very similarly to what they did up there in Green Bay and throw the ball as early and often on early downs, try to utilize what is the most efficient way to move the ball in the NFL in today's game, and that is to pass the ball and utilize all of these playmakers and stuff. And I honestly believe that they'll do that, and I think that we're going to see a drastically different offense there in Denver.
Look, it makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah. And for a team coming in offensively, that's not the area you would be worried about coming in for Denver.
To be frank, I mean, you know, there's people yelling at the screen right now. He's like, we had Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. What'd you want us to do? Fair. You know, I mean, like, yes, you probably did need to run the ball more, and you probably did need to be more conservative because, yeah, you had those guys at quarterback, right? So, I mean, I get it, you know.
But here's the thing. I mean, Locke had good numbers when using play action in the shotgun going back to 2020, and Pat Shurmur was like, yeah, you know what, that's all great, and this quarterback's below average. I'm going to do that even less the next year. He did not give him any tools to succeed. Not that I think Drew Locke would have been a particularly great, you know, the answer, but to me, a lot of the root problem there came from Shurmur, and you're getting him out. You've got a very much nouveau sort of thinking there. That's got to rub off. To me, the question is, A, we've seen rookie head coaches really struggle to adapt from an in-game managing standpoint. Special teams, Denver was horrible last year, 30th in DVOA. How does that go this year when, again, you're going to be put in a very difficult division with a lot of tough games right out of the chute, and you bring in a defense that, keep in mind, we talked about all the struggles, Matt. They had the projected 28th hardest opposing set of offenses last year. And that was after facing the third hardest set of opposing offenses in 2020. So the presumption coming into last year was, all right, this team should have a very soft schedule against opposing offenses, and their defense fell off that drastically.
Yeah, and if we look at what, you know, basically what you're saying here, though, is the truth. It's like this division, though, is going to be the make or break. There's going to be one of these teams that disappoints, and it's going to be which team is it that ends up disappointing, because they all four aren't going to be awesome. We know this. We've seen this time and time again. Mm-hmm. We've seen these things where we look at them like, okay, divisions of death, right? And we've said this several different times, like, how is a team ever going to make it out of here? Well, typically what happens is one of these teams drastically either disappoints from an execution standpoint or a tragic injury, right? And like that's ends up being what changes the course of the season for one of these guys. And it will probably happen here with one of these teams. Maybe the Chargers, who I am incredibly bullish on, don't actually take that next step, right? Maybe all these additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball doesn't make all that big of a difference, right? What if Patrick Mahomes really is just put him in there with anyone and he's going to succeed? Maybe Tyreek Hill even isn't going to be that big of a drop off for the Chiefs, right? And so there's all these questions here coming into this season that do affect the Broncos that don't have anything to do with the Broncos, right? It has everything to do with all these other teams as to how they adjust to the stuff as well, you know? And I mean, I have no worries whatsoever that Russell Wilson is going to be able to step right in and be the Russell Wilson of old. We also have to remember this last year. When Russell Wilson was struggling a little bit last year, yes, one, the offensive line was Swiss cheese, but two, he had that finger injury, mm-hmm. remember, and just was never the same after that finger injury whenever he came back. And so now he's had a whole offseason to heal that and whatever. And so I fully expect him to be the Russell Wilson of old, right. And I fully expect this team to be, you know, one of the better teams in the NFL. That being said, the win total for all of these teams, as you see, like 10.5, 10, and then 8.5 there on the Raiders, which, by the way, I think is, we'll talk about the Raiders later on in the week. I mean, I think that's a little bit low, but I think that's dead on for this. I think it's dead on for this Broncos team. Like, I think they're a slightly better than 500 team, right? I mean, I think they are a slightly better than 500 squad. You can't put that number any higher. You can't put that number any lower. So you're just kind of stuck here in the ether with all three of those teams.
Right. And you think about how that applies too. If we're looking at actual futures betting bets to be made, like plus 250. I don't know how that really can be enticing. The question that you naturally then think of is, okay, so we know that with the playoffs being expanded, wild card, especially if you're talking about new quarterback and a new system and a rookie head coach who will likely have some sort of in-game growing pains this year, and we'll see how good the defense actually is. You would think, okay, maybe a wild card is a possibility and they are favored, minus 150 to make the playoffs. Is there enough potential, like, win equity in your mind in a plus 850 ticket right now to win the AFC, given how tough that path is going to be to actually come out number one in the division?
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like that's a better bet than even for them to win the division, because I do think that there is, like, there's going to be an adjustment period for everyone involved, right? Yeah. Not only it's a new head coach, it's a new offensive coordinator, it is a new quarterback in a new system, and playing in a difficult division. So there's a chance that this team struggles for a little bit before finding their footing and moving on and starting to really, really hum there. And so they might not win the division, but at that point, we just want to kind of get them in the tournament and then let them go from there and let the talent take over. Yeah, and let the talent take over. So I wouldn't play the 250 there, because I do think this division could be any one of those four teams. I am not kidding when I say this.
Yeah.
I think any one of those four teams could win this.
I like that idea of maybe playing one of those as the bet for the Broncos or almost any team in this division. I think you're right. I don't know that I'm running to bet division odds on almost any of these teams.
Not where they sit now. Like,
right, not where they sit now.
And like fired on all these teams like as soon as all these moves started happening. So like I have the Chargers at like what are 7-1. I have the Raiders at 9-1. And like what, you know, and so but not at the numbers they're at.
I think the other one with the win totals, Matt, like we've talked a lot on this show in the past about playing some of these alternate win totals you can find. Mm-hmm. I don't know this is the division I want to do that in either. Right? Like, because I do think the numbers are fairly accurate, and probably at least three of the four teams are going to be pretty dang close to these numbers. So I really like playing those alt win totals. I think I'm going to be heavy on those this year, but probably not in the AFC West.
Yeah, because the chance for overachieving or under, well, I mean, I guess you could underachieve, but the chance for overachieving anyway for any of these teams due to the difficulty of the teams that they play, that they have to play twice, it's going to be very, very tough.
Like our takeaway here, if there's value to be had right now, 8.5-1 on Denver winning the AFC, if you believe that eventually these pieces will all work out, I think that makes a lot of sense. And we're off and rolling.
There we go.
One team.
There we go.
31 more to go. All right. We'll preview our late MLB action on the other side here on Primetime Action. ice cold beers, cold hard cash. Join the action on the pitch with the Heineken 2022 Soccer Prediction Challenge. Compete in 20 free-to-play pools this season for your shot at a share of $100,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Heineken now to start your run at victory. Heineken, beer made better. 21 and over only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly. I can't believe we just spent a half hour talking about the Denver Broncos, man. It's amazing how when you start talking football, time just, you know.
I can. Boy, I can't wait. What did you say? 74 days?
74 days.
74 days. I don't know how you know that. But
I punched it in because I was looking it up last night, and I went to that website, howmanydaysuntil.net or whatever.
Have you typed in until I get a girlfriend? To see when you're going to get a girlfriend.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Have you done that?
You have to put in a physical date. Oh, you can't just say until random things happen.
What was the website again?
It's not like a magic eight ball and you can just like ask it and whatever. Just like comes
hang on. No. How many? Let me find this. It's not like a subjective thing. No. It is daysuntil.net. There's a bajillion different ones of these. There's an occasion on.
Who's at a .net anymore?
I don't know, but I trust it because it clearly spat out 74 days.
Yeah, so there we go. Adam Wainwright, keep it going. Keep it going, Cardinals. Let's do this.
Keep it going, Cardinals. Yeah. They are on a roll. It is now, at least in St. Louis, 5-0, top of the sixth. So that first 5-bet has already come home. You're looking pretty good there. And our latest game right now, 2-1 Pirates. Nationals got one back, but Pittsburgh, who was a dog today. Interesting to see Pittsburgh a dog against Eric Fetty.
Yeah, I know.
One of the worst pitchers in baseball.
It really that gives you the state of the
it's not great, of
the Pirates.
And though. They were pitching a guy I'd never heard of.
We do have two late first pitches. We got the White Sox and the Angels. That is Lucas Giolito, Noah Syndergaard. Right now, -140 at DraftKings on the Angels and Syndergaard as home favorites. If you want the road underdog in this one, it is +120 on Giolito and the White Sox, a flat 9. Is the total in that one. Looking up and down the lineup here, we were kind of seeing maybe is there any discrepancies as to maybe why you wouldn't want to bet the Angels in this one, which I did, but the confirmed lineup is in. I mean, it's Ward, Trout, Otani at the top. I mean, that's really all I need to see to be okay to bet the Angels there. I want those three guys in the lineup, but Walsh is in there as well. Marsh is in there. Stassi's in there. So I'm okay with going ahead and trying to fade Giolito yet again. We talked to Paul Spohr a little bit earlier about this. He said, you know, he works over there at Fangraphs, and said that they've looked into the stuff, and it's really just he's lost command, and it's not just of any certain pitch. He's just lost command of all of his pitches right now. He's not locating, leaving everything out over the plate, and he's getting tagged. I mean, like, he is getting lit up. And so until he figures that out, I'll play against him.
And a team total over as well on the Angels, over 4.5. I'm seeing -115 juice at DraftKings. Not a play I hate at all. And consider, too, a White Sox team that it's like whenever you think, and we've had this discussion before, talking AL Central odds, where it's like, at what point does the number become too enticing to not take the White Sox? And they're now in the $1.65 range at DraftKings, second favorite behind Minnesota, who are about to take a 3-game lead in the division over the Guardians. They're up 9-0 right now in the 8th inning. But it's like every time you think, okay, the White Sox, they should be getting healthier, and they should be.
That was a 71-mile-an-hour curveball by Wainwright right there.
Uncle, the 12-6.
That was a 71. It looked like it looked like a full-on Ephus pitch when he threw it.
And then he follows it up with 83 and just freezes the guy, top of the zone, it's called strike 2. But you think about the White Sox, it's like, all right, they surely have to be getting healthy sometime soon. And then every time they've made a little bit of progress here, Tony La Russa comes along and says, yeah, we're going to stop running out ground balls that are hard hitting right at people. 10 guys on the IL. It's just like you can't imagine, especially for us who've followed baseball for a long time, could not have ever imagined a manager coming out and made a statement like that.
I know. It really is. It's insanity. And so you just – that's why it's hard to have confidence in this team. It really is. I mean, like when you got a manager like that, it's just very hard to have any sort of confidence in them. And like we talked about with Giolito, I mean, dating back to his last 5 starts, he has 6 earned. He did have a 2 earned start in there, but he only struck out 3 in that game, which again, he's a guy that relies on a high strikeout rate, kind of got fortunate in that one. Then he gives up 4 earned, gives up 8 earned, gives up 7 earned. I mean, that's his last 5 starts here. And so it's just something's off, something's not right. And, you know, maybe he finds it tonight. Certainly if you're a White Sox fan and or better, you hope he finds it tonight, because if Giolito is not going to be on, not going to be good for this team, then I have a real tough time figuring out how they're going to be able to get anything done down the stretch.
And when you have a lineup that's Yasmani Grandal, Yoan Moncada, Danny Mendick, Adam Engel, and Eloy Jimenez, all with four of those guys with soft tissue injuries on the IL, and then the closer, Liam Hendricks, one of five pitchers on the IL, you look at it and you say, you know what, it makes sense that a team like that would be 25th in the majors in home runs, 24th in runs, 22nd in OPS, because they're just so depleted, and it has resulted now in the margin of error you have as a pitcher. It's just so less.
Yeah.
And so you almost wonder, is there that pressure in addition to lacking command there from Giolito piling on?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am going to play the Angels tonight. So we'll see how this all rolls out. Okay. Orioles and Mariners do come to you at 10:10 Eastern. Tyler Wells for the Orioles. George Kirby for the Mariners. Kirby and the Mariners are -150 home favorites in this one over the Orioles. +130 on Wells and the Orioles as road underdogs. 7.5 is your total. If you are new to the show, which I like to do this like once a month, Ben, but if you are new to the show and you're watching on the stream and I'm reading off these numbers and you look on the screen and these numbers don't match and you go, what is this guy doing? He must be a complete idiot. I'm reading off the DraftKings numbers. These are the numbers from the fine people here behind us at the South Point. So they're not always going to match up. So we're giving you the rest of country numbers here, where the majority of you are going to be able to bet the game, and this, you know, only available here in Nevada.
Hey, so don't worry. Just to make it more confusing, all those live line numbers you see at the bottom are from DraftKings Sportsbook.
There we go. So there you go. We're trying to not confuse people, but
hey, Matt, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off, but can I get a breaking news sounder from you real quick? From Chris Haynes at Yahoo Sports, John Wall has agreed to a buyout with the Houston Rockets, or the Houston Rockets have agreed to a buyout with John Wall. So he will hit the free agent market. Don't worry, boys. He's going to give back approximately $7 million in salary to hit the open market. He had a $47.4 million player option for the upcoming season.
I was not worried to begin with, but I guess I don't need to worry anymore.
John Wall will actually play basketball.
So they're paying him $40 million to go away.
Yes, he is getting paid
$40
million.
I guess if you can save $7 million, here's the deal, because they're on the hook for it.
Yeah, they're on the hook for it.
So it's like, if you can save $7 million, save $7 million, I guess.
I mean,
like,
it's a no-win situation, right? Like, you're not paying him to sit on the bench anymore, so at least you freed up salary cap space, and you freed up a roster spot. I'm with you, Matt. It's $7 million, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because if not, you had to pay him anyway.
Right.
So save the $7 million and let him go on about his way.
Hey, that earns you a mid-level exception for me.
Yeah,
that's what Kyrie Irving's worth, apparently. So, yeah.
$6 million right there.
And he's not going to contribute anyway, right? I mean, like, this team is in complete rebuild. Yeah. Like, whatever. Like, you're at this point, you don't. That's not what you want on this team, right?
Yeah, we saw at the end of the regular season them rolling out that backport of Kyle Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. Like, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, like them putting him out on the court with all these guys that are actually the core of the future of the team, where he's has absolutely no future with the
Kevin
team,
Porter
doesn't do
Jr.
them any good whatsoever. So that it makes all the sense in the world.
I went to a Bucks-Wizards game in 2012, his rookie year, when he was basically refusing to play for the Wizards, and it's amazing how, like, it's a decade later, and yet it's still kind of sort of the same deal. Not exactly the same, but, like, you still wonder, does John Wall really want to play basketball? It's like all the situations he's been in. And yet we end up, it seems like the same cycle continues.
Repeat it. And as we said.
I mean, I guess this means one less trade partner for the Los Angeles Lakers, if you ever believed they were ever going to get rid of Russell Westbrook. Like, there was the Westbrook for John Wall trade scenarios out there. So I guess that's not happening anymore.
Thank goodness.
I don't really know. I believe that was ever really going to happen, but yeah.
Maybe the regression to the mean game.
Rut-row.
For Martin Perez is actually happening. Who'd have thought, though?
Against Kansas City, 5-4. Rangers, bottom of the fourth.
He's given up four runs through four innings here against this Kansas City squad, again, that we said just has struggled mightily all season long, 26-45 on the year. They don't have, you know, they don't have a single guy, I don't think, with – do they have even a single guy with double-digit home runs? But
I do not believe so. His ERA up to a whopping 227.
Yes, but they are Four runs here tonight. Rangers do still lead 5-4 in that one because Bubic has been worse. So there's that. Yes, Bubic has been worse. But
that game is already over. Yeah, it's over 8.5 in fifth inning.
So there you go.
Congrats there. The one of the little nugget I had, I saw this, one of the beat reporters for Tyler Wells tonight for Baltimore. He will, quote, be held back a bit in tonight's start against Seattle. So I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But
yeah,
Seattle,
what does that mean?
Like he'll be
like he can't pitch full speed?
I don't know. And I mean, I like Tyler Wells. 3.34 ERA. Some regression stuff. Doesn't miss a lot of bats. But Mariners coming off that insane brawl. And we just had, as we talked about earlier on the show, all those suspensions come out. So on a surface, I kind of like the spot for Baltimore. But not sure I can really trust that based on the news we're hearing from the beat reporters. So.
Well, Baltimore always has Mountcastle. So
Mountcastle. All right. We talk one and done. Grade the golf draft. We got to do it. We'll do it next on Primetime Action.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The VSiN Summer Special is here for only $19. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke on the MLB, NFL offseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features the daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer.
It's $19.02 Bahamian dollars. So like we're right on par with the Bahamian.
Have you been to the Bahamas?
To the Bahamas, yeah. Been once.
Been there once.
Been once.
Atlanta. I was really sick when I went there.
Oh really?
Wasn't great. Mm. I was watching Harlem Globetrotters.
Did you go to Atlantis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a small child. I was watching a Harlem Globetrotters marathon on ESPN Classic. Mm. And I was just in my hotel room.
I went for a poker tournament.
This is fantastic.
I went for a poker tournament.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they used to have a big poker tournament.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever because the World Series is going on right now. Do you ever dabble in anything?
I have to be here every night.
Saturday satellite tournaments.
There are 21 other hours in the day.
Oh, by the way, Matt, you know what I figured out last week? We missed the entrance for the big bingo guarantee at South Point.
How?
Sold out.
Oh, we can't get in?
Yeah, we can't get in.
The WSOB?
The WSOB, yeah. Or I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to Vinny or Jimmy. They can get us in or something.
Yeah, it's
sold out.
It's got to be a way.
And I need another breaking news sounder, please. From Woj, John Wall is planning to sign with the Clippers once he clears waivers.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Free agency officially begins when, Kelly? When
Wednesday.
Wednesday. So that's when the stuff will all become actual.
I'm going to guess that means it's not for very much money.
And, yeah, I was going to say, it's like for pennies, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think they have a ton of cap room last time I checked.
All right, John Wall, do your thing, I guess.
It's a no-lose ad for the Clippers, right?
Because if the Rockets have to pay.
Assuming they're not paying them much.
Yeah, I mean, so if the Rockets have to pay 40 of you know, whatever, if the Rockets have to pay 40 of it,
Okay.
What, like, 11th guys on the bench get $5 million a year.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, like, whatever. If you only got to pay John Wall
he can be in that guard rotation back
then. Oh, we have position player pitching. It's probably too late to get in on over.
It's the top of the night.
In this Cleveland game.
Oh.
That's a 67-mile-an-hour fastball.
I think how that, Matt, like, it could be any. That immediately catches your eye. This who is this in right now?
Live numbers off the
Ernie Clement. Is tossing a ground out to the it got stuck in the guy's glove and he throws wide.
No.
Let's see if you even could you even if you wanted to. No, you
can't. Kelly said off the board.
You cannot. It's up. Sorry, it is up.
Bummer. We tried, guys.
Speaking of bummers, the Travelers Championship golf draft reveal time for us. It was not our finest display of golf betting. Prowess. I would have won had Hayden Buckley not thrown up all over himself on 18 as he finishes T43 after a bogey on 18. Sadly, that was a pretty massive swing. And both you, Matt, and Kelly each got 2 of 3, but you, Matt, had a little bit better edges on the juice there. So you are the winner, and you and Kelly each have 6 to your name.
Yeah, that's
This is not a good example actually of how my betting weekend went, because this is actually better than how it happened.
You only lost $10 on this.
I wish I only lost $10 this week.
We gave you, but for people who are wondering, we did give Kelly the grade on Kokrak missing the cut,
which is not him missing the cut.
Well, it was one of the more hilarious things though we've ever seen.
It's a DQ.
I don't know how they would have graded this, honestly.
I gotta think you would have.
I don't
lost
know.
I don't know. We were just happy that you won, so it didn't have to come into play because he hit OB right and then walked off. So he knew he was missing the cut. But you're right, he was DQ'd. I don't really know how the sportsbook would have graded that.
I gotta think technically.
I think it doesn't matter.
That would have been a rough way to lose a bet for people who actually did bet that.
But I would like to ask an odds maker, I guess, how they grade those normally. I mean, the rare occasion that it happens.
And look, it might. I mean, Matt won $40. It's funny that actually does translate. Is we won what $70 and you won
$40. Basically, that is my week. So for Kelly and I,
look, it was rough. It was not as rough of a finish, at least to the weekend, as for Sahith Theegala, who I mean. As rough of a way you can give away a tournament as Theegala did.
What a throwaway golf tournament just in general, because besides it being a terrible betting weekend for me, that ending was, I mean, I don't know. If you want to call it dramatic, fine, but like I feel bad for both Theegala and Schauffele because no one's ever going to give Schauffele any credit. We always say the guy never wins. And he's never going to get any credit, including for me, because like he didn't. Theegala blew it away. Like it wasn't like it was not Schauffele's turn.
We were waiting too for like a Cantley Schauffele mano a mano, and Cantley just which helped you guys here in our one and done update, where Mito got it all the way back. He was 6 over Mito Pereira on day one. He got it all the way back. He was a shot on the right side of the cut line, and then bogeyed 18 on Friday to miss the cut by one.
Come on, passed ball, Yankees. We got a score on that. Let's go, Yanks.
Mito really, I mean.
Brutal.
Not that, again, it's not that big of a deal because Cantlay choked, but like, yes, that was so brutal.
Everybody keeps making jokes about, they're like, we had to have fun with the one and done this week. I'm like, whoa. I've already burned a lot of big names. I'm actually very okay with I could actually play someone near the top of the board this week.
I was joking.
Because, Adam Hadwin's your short shot.
It's got to be the Smotherman week for Kelly.
I mean, no seriously. Smotherman. I mean, I look at it this way, too. I mean, probably the biggest story coming out of this is Michael Thjornborgsen, an amateur finishing outright four.
Tied for the lead at one.
In the tournament. I mean, outright four in this one, going 65, 66, 66 in the final three rounds to just like, so, look, we've seen amateurs have good first rounds. They shoot 68 in the first round. Like you see amateurs every now and then, and then they always fade. He actually gets better in rounds 2, 3, and 4 than he did in round one. And, that's awesome. I think it's the highest finish by an amateur in however many.
I caught that too. I don't remember what it was, but it's
good on him. By the way, also, but not good on him from the standpoint that outright four would have been worth about $575,000. And
chop it up.
And
is that not one of those where you can just say, like, oh, I'll turn pro now?
I'm actually
you can just
pro
give me the
after
check.
All. I am a pro.
I am a pro.
Yes, very much.
We're just going to talk about that.
Quit school as of today.
Yes. As you're on the 72nd hole. I resigned from classes and everything. Yes.
Hasn't that been like a. There have been movies where that's like, you're on 18. It's like, well, you can either take the money right now or you can stay an amateur. And it's like, duh, you take the $500,000 paycheck.
This tournament, I was never going to win any money if one of the big names won it, as it was anyway. So, Xander winning, there was never a shot for me because all the odds were so short on all the guys at the top of the board. I was never going to go there. And so I'm actually okay with him winning. It's way better him winning than Poston or Theegala for me, where it's kind of like,
oh, Theegala, we would have hated ourselves.
Like these lower guys down the board, if they'd have won, then that'd have like that. Because, because I bet all longer shots basically for this tournament. So
the postman who was right there.
Yeah, that one would have hurt if it had been any of those guys. But with it being Xander, I'm kind of like, whatever.
Probably,
it was never going to make my card. Like literally zero chance it was ever going to make my
Was
card.
The worst betting beat though, probably at the end of the day, Cantlay not finishing top 10, given, 76.
Oh, Sunday. You're talking about if you had that card?
Like if you had top 10 on Cantlay, finishes T13.
Yes.
One stroke out of it. That's
yes.
That's
catcher's interference. That's not allowed, Oakland. Run for the Yankees.
Kelly is so invested.
Tommy Beer broke it down too. Check these numbers out. Over the past three seasons in which he played a grand total of just 40 games, John Wall has made $123.7 million. He will make 47 next year.
Congrats, dude. Also, the pitcher has given up now 2 runs and counting, 11-0 to the Twins.
Say try to monitor these position player pitching situations for overs because they are so amazing, but we the books were too quick. Yeah,
well, it happened too late. Yeah.
Books were too quick. They were not going.
The other, so we come out of this tournament, and again, we're just going to remember the Thigala massive choke job on 18. But then coming out today, we had a number of guys already who have withdrawn. We'll discuss the tournament, the John Deere Classic, which is a pretty watered down field to begin with. So we have more guys withdrawing, and then Matthew Wolf officially. He's to the LIV Tour, so good for Matthew Wolf. He's getting money.
And yeah, I mean, this is one of those things like we were trying to say with all these guys that if they can't win, Matthew Wolf got to the point where he could hardly make a cut. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Go play no cut events where if you finish dead last, you get $100,000. Cool, go do it.
This name more than any Yankees just pile on the run. Now you're gonna make me regret not putting the money line in. What was I thinking?
Don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. A win is a win.
6-5 Yankees.
Middle's open, though.
The middle is open. It's boom, skinny knees, which means it's time for us to go. I know Kelly was going to have some very insightful thought on Matthew Wolf, but you know what? Betting got in the way. For Matt Brown, for Kelly Bidlin, for the rest of our outstanding crew, we'll do it all over again tomorrow, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, here on Primetime Action. In the meantime, it is the nightcap coming your way next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.